It is the Bottom Line News Radio 610 KONA Friday afternoon. Rob Francis, John McKay with you. God, another beautiful day here.
Yes.
Can't argue with it at all. And John, very happy to welcome back to the program. He's represented the 19th District in the Senate for some time now. Senator Jeff Wilson, welcome back, sir. Good to have you.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you, everybody. It's the last day of February. Let's make this happy for you.
Yeah, well, we will do our best. Let's let's start with the Reform Powers Bill. We know this was really on the front burner for Republicans at the end of the Inslee administration. He wanted nothing to do with it. Not long after Bob Ferguson was sworn in as governor, he had stated he was open to some aspect of emergency powers reform. We know that some of the things that Republicans had put forward weren't necessarily included in the bill. There were some amendments that that didn't sit well. Where are we with the potential of emergency powers reform? And is it actually going to be any type of reform if Governor Ferguson signs it?
Well, you know, I got to tell you, so far, it's turned out to be one of the most disappointing opportunities of the session. We get a brand new governor. We can be cautiously optimistic about his inaugural speech, but he offered the opportunity to work together in a bipartisan manner on gubernatorial emergency powers or how to terminate an emergency. I was so overwhelmed with joy that we ran with that. We presented a bill. The bill finally got a hearing, which proved to also be the act of the new governor. He nudged the committee chair to get the bill heard. So now that we get the bill heard, it got hijacked in committee. It got diluted, and now it's sitting in a political timeout committee waiting to be pulled out or voted out of some form to potentially get to the floor. I'm not very encourage that we're going to have a happy ending to such a gracious opportunity. I think there's some power push and pulls going on here, but I think all of us and your listeners should always welcome an opportunity to reform powers of any form of government. And this was at the calling of the new governor. It's kind of a wait and see, but now I'm going to put it in a very, very disappointed category.
And it was interesting following that track and hearing the governor nudged it, and then seeing the amendments that came into play and how it almost seemed like it was a setup to knock down in some ways, and gets to stay in good graces with some Republicans by nudging it forward, but also taps the nod to the majority party to, here it is, now you can do what you want with it.
Well, absolutely. I must say that nothing burgers do not taste very good. In fact, it has left. I'm a little disappointed because the majority party has the ability, I guess, to be bipartisan. We all have something at stake here because the best time to prepare for, of course, emergencies is, well, when you're not in an emergency. And if you can get a chance to lay the groundwork for fair representation on emergency powers going forward, regardless of, you don't even know who the new governor is going to be someday. It started out very admirable, but like that pop balloon, there's no air left in it at this time. It's kind of a wait and see, but I'm going to be a little bit optimistic and say there is time to get it to the floor, but we do need to deliver a product for the people, by the people kind of thing. And right now I'm suspicious that there's some other actions at force here. Let's just leave that alone. So,
one of the things that's going to be interesting, Senator Wilson, is when a number of these bills that we know are absolutely caustic get to Governor Ferguson's desk, then we'll find out exactly how much he is willing to be bipartisan if he either passes or vetoes some of these bills. And one of them, I'm sure you remember in his inauguration speech talking about wanting more law enforcement officers and prioritizing public safety and a number of other things. And then we have House Bill 1399, which would in effect create a double standard for the sheriff's position. And it would be the only elected position in Washington state where a candidate would have to go through a background check before they filed for the office. Tell us about this and how you're viewing it, how your constituents are seeing it, and especially what you've heard from, well, your county sheriff.
Well, I got to tell you, there always could be a new sheriff in town, but therein lies the best part of this. Sheriffs are the law that you can elect to serve your communities, and I highly respect that. You know, where else can you get the voters to say, I'm going to hire you to be the law person of this community? So that alone makes it a rare thing indeed to happen. And I'd like to keep the process, well, like it is. I'd like to respect that the voters can hire and fire through elections their sheriffs. And, you know, accordingly, there has to be a check and balance in there. But government shouldn't be regulating so much government, especially when the people are involved. So I'm going to come down on the side of let your sheriffs continue to be awarded that job by the people that hire them.
The other interesting thing about it, we're talking with Senator Jeff Wilson from the 19th District, Longview, here on The Bottom Line. One of the other interesting things about the bill, Senator, is that they, in the language, they omitted any reference to the responsibility of the sheriff to the U.S. Constitution, which I wasn't aware that the majority party had the power to do that.
Yeah, you know, there's something about that oath of office, and we've got to take the oath of office seriously, and that's basically the first welcoming part of an elected official, or excuse me, public servant, is we raise one of our two hands and we take that oath. I think that's paramount to reassure the voters that we know who we work for, and we are following the guidelines of not only the federal constitution, but the state constitution as well.
Senator, and we're talking with Senator Jeff Wilson from the 19th Longview here on The Bottom Line.
And what else, Senator, you know, we got a lot of things picked off last week, like the CalFARTS bill went away and stuff. But today is the one for bills with fiscal notes. What other bills are absolutely on your radar and you guys are fighting, scratching and clawing to try to make sure that they die after today? Maybe give us something else that maybe is something that, you know, people aren't paying a ton of attention to. But what's really on your radar right now?
Well, I tell you what, it's really bills that relate to the budget, because you're correct. Today's the last day we do fiscal committee, and it's the deadline today. But all roads are leading to the budgets, capital, transportation, operating. And this is where we deal with OPM, other people's money, your money. And I'm afraid that there's been a narrative spun out there that we don't have enough money. We don't need. It's a really of a political want here in Olympia. So to me, any bill that deals with getting into anybody's pocketbooks, the hardworking families of everyday Washingtonians, that's, I'll watch any of those bills. So I don't have a favorite, because I think this is somewhat like a little bit of a battle, except in this case, we have an Eastern Front, a Western Front, a Northern Front, and a Southern. All corners are being watched, because we're headed to the floor soon to invoke our budgets on you. And I, quite frankly, would like to, lower our credit or our spending limit with other people's money this year.
Senator, we know that today's the fiscal cutoff for, but we also know that there are some things that can be written into the budget as a proviso. And yeah, that is kind of where some eyebrows are up with some of the bills that didn't make it through last week that had a financial note, like expanding Apple Care for those in the country illegally. We could see that winding up as a proviso. Another one that's really interesting is the bill that is waiting for rules in the House before it gets to you, but it would allow homeless people to sue over camping bans. Who's going to pay for the lawyer?
Well, like a lot of things we do, these claims end up being on the backs of the taxpayers. You know, we may argue something here and want to pound our fist and take people to court, but ultimately we're doing it at the financial risk and to be an imposition on the taxpayers. So we need to choose carefully which battles we'd like to fight, to offend or defend. because ultimately we may be cashing a check at your expense. And, you know, I say we need to consider our rhetoric. Don't be passing bills that aren't constitutional to begin with. That would be the best rule of thumb, and that'll keep us out of court more often than not.
We're talking with Senator Jeff Wilson, 19th District, Longview, here on The Bottom Line. I want to get your thoughts on the governor's budget speech. Looking at the details, it seemed very wishy-washy, underwhelming. From looking at what he was proposing and then talking about what he was keeping from Jay Inslee's budget, it didn't seem to me like he went far enough after he seemed like he wanted to really tackle what the deficit looked like. Now, we know there's different numbers out there as to what the deficit may actually be, but it seemed to be very underwhelming, and the things that we really needed to look at cutting, he completely and totally avoided.
Well, you know, I'll have to concede that to you guys. The first, I guess, the sign of having a problem is to admit that we have a problem. In Olympia, we have overspent and overpromised for a number of years now. And here's this big deficit that we're facing us, but we've created this problem. So I always look for accountability, like some admission, like, yeah, I think we're all part of the problem, but we do need to fix it. And fixing it means shouldn't just put a Band-Aid on it. And I do appreciate the governor's attempt. What a breath of fresh air to hear a governor come in and say, we're going to reduce some of these spending. That in itself is good. But the problem still isn't addressed. We have a spending problem. We've had it for years. And can we just agree on that for a moment? Because we shouldn't have to do this crisis budget stuff every 2 to 4 years. If we had done our fiscal planning properly and didn't spend more than we took in or we take in, I think the world would be a lot better place here in Olympia and statewide.
You know, Senator, we have a lot of money that goes out for compassionate causes, and I use that in quotes, homelessness and drug rehabilitation and things like that, but yet we don't really seem to get much of a return on that investment. How much do lawmakers know where that money's going? Meaning, do you know the organizations that are getting it? Is there any condition on that funding that there needs to be some type of progress made or they could lose that funding? Because it doesn't seem like there's anything attached.
Well, I think that you just set the thesis, which is government needs to be accountable. It's not just show people the money, but you follow the money. Did you get your money's worth? I'm not confident that we're doing that job on any form of a passing grade. I've previously have sponsored bills to audit governments to say, did you meet your goal? Did you give the results to the taxpayer that you said you would when we gave you a bucket of money? And that, again, is really an overall attitude in Olympia that is it has lasted way too long. I've acknowledged the governor's a breath of fresh air, but, you know, we do need to remain cautiously optimistic because this problem is nothing new, and we do it to ourselves every time. So those programs and issues that have compassion and care about other people, that is important. But we also recognize, do we have enough funds to solve all of the state's problems going forward? And there's where the hard choices need to be made. We will tackle as many as we can, but ultimately we can't promise something that we can't deliver, and that is to solve everybody's problem because the checkbook isn't that big and never will be.
We're talking with Senator Jeff Wilson from the 19th District here on The Bottom Line. Senator, we've asked a couple of other lawmakers that we've talked to this question, particularly in light of a lot of the things that are coming down from the Trump administration and a number of different avenues that they have threatened to withhold federal funding based on not following certain executive orders. We know that the attorney general was outside of court today looking for another preliminary injunction in front of the same judge he's gone to the last couple of times. But we know a lot of the things that where the funding has been threatened are things that are right in the hip pocket of the majority party. So how much federal funding, is there an idea of how much federal funding the state is at risk of losing?
I don't think anybody knows, because the hype and all we're hearing in, you know, all forms of media is big, bad, the other Washington, big, bad Washington, D.C. And to me, I don't necessarily consider these threats. When somebody is asking for you to be accountable and to explain yourself with the use of taxpayers' funds, I actually find that admirable. And that truly is where we always should be. So, you know, it's kind of like sooner or later, we have to come to some form of reckoning. And I think we're at that day now where people are just taxed too much and asked to only speak when spoken to. I think we're forgetting who the boss is here. It's people. We are public servants, not to give them rhetoric, but to give them reasonable answers to reasonable questions. God bless Washington, D.C. right now.
Senator Jeff Wilson from the 19th in Longview. Always appreciate your time, sir. Appreciate your candor. And look forward to talking to you again real soon.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.